Without further ado, we are privileged this morning to have Craig Parker be bringing the word for us. So how about we just honour him and give him a round of applause as Craig comes to share the word.
Alrighty. All right. We all good? Wicked. Cheers, Benno. Morning, church. How you doing? We all right? Okay, so church, you know what you're going to get. Hopefully, those of you that have come to church a few times and seen me preach, you know roughly what you're going to get with me. So I'll just put it out there now. I may enter into the crowd at some point. I may ask for a bit of audience participation. And let it be said, this is the final Sunday that our Hillside kids are not at kids' church or children's ministry. So if you're a member of the children's ministry, like a child, would you just, I know this is awkward for you, but could you put your hand up? I just want to just check that you're in. Yeah, awesome. Is there anyone down this row? No children in this row? Really? That's unusual. Oh, there's what? Aubrey Rose. I see that hand. Out this way. I see that up the back there, Bells. I see that. Awesome. A few of you guys. All right. Now, children's church crew. This is unusual. I know. You don't normally get picked out on a Sunday morning when you're in the church. But can I just ask, maybe for about 5 or 10 minutes, particularly at the start of this thing, I actually need your help. All right? So I need your help. I see you drawing down there. I'm loving your work. I need your help, and that's all I'm going to say for now. So can you open your ears? I don't know how we do it. Do you turn your ears on, or how do we do it, Children's Church? But all right, sorry. It's not how we do church, is it? But okay, before we get into this morning's message, a little extra announcement. From next week, we are going to make a few changes to the auditorium as we continue on the journey of 2016. And I wanted to kind of give you guys over here a little heads up. I know it's been in Pastor Kerry's blog this week, but we're going to make some configuration changes, particularly in Pram City. That's this little Undercroft area. I think it's called an Undercroft, but we call it Pram City. For you parents, we want to make it better for you. So next week, we're going to make some config changes, and hopefully it's going to work out real well for you. There's also going to be some changes across our stage. So that was just a heads up from me to you. Okay, so into this morning's message. And this morning, I've been praying a lot, as anyone who's fairly inexperienced, believe it or not, at coming up and preaching on a Sunday morning. You give me a Friday night, and I'll tell you, I've been preaching Friday nights for about 7 years on and off. You know, there's just like, that's like meat and drink to myself. You put me up here on a Sunday morning, and you will not imagine, like, how scary that is. How much of a freak out that is for me, okay? So God often lays something on my heart and then puts me through it and then says, Craig, go and preach what you've learned, okay? And that's great, particularly if God gives you a real simple message, maybe for your youth group. Because like, hey, the youth, if it's simple, the youth will get it and it'll be great. But then he says, I've got a simple message for you, Craig, and you need to bring it to the church. And it's like, okay, God, here we go. I'm the new guy here. So I need to say something kind of big and expansive and back it all the way in. So, Lord, if you've just given me one scripture, how do I do that? And he goes, Craig, I want you to keep it simple this morning. And so for the past week or so, maybe a little bit longer than that, I've been trying to add things in. You know how you cheekily, God says something and then you kind of go, all right, well, great that you said that, but I need to have like a 30, 40 minute preach, whatever. So I'm going to slip this in. And all week long, I've been trying to sneak little pieces of scripture into my preach. And God has just been coming at me mightily and chopping things back out. So I don't know. I'm totally reliant on him, as usual, this morning. And I don't know where we're going to end up. That's scary for me to admit that at the start of the preach. But I do believe for our church, we've been hearing messages of preparation. Okay, so if you've been coming to Hillside over the last month, I just want to give you a quick recap, because I believe we're in a season of preparation. And the messages that we've been hearing have all been about refining our faith in Jesus. So I want to take you back to the first Sunday. And if you were here, you'll know it. And if you weren't here, hopefully I can just give you some snippets. And you'll be able to, if you want to, listen to these messages over at hillside.org.au, where all our sermons are online. If they're not online right now, they will be online shortly. So Pastor Kerry spoke a message first week of 2016 called What's Next? And it was looking forward. He spoke about making progress this year. And it was the ultimate kind of get ready sermon. He used 1 Corinthians 9:22 to 23, and it says this: I've become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings. I love that verse because it speaks of doing for the sake of the gospel and almost as a byproduct of doing for the sake of the gospel, there's blessings that come out of it. Now, moving forward, the following week, Stacey, our children's pastor, she spoke out the book of 1 Kings, and she spoke, generally speaking, on putting God in his rightful place. She challenged us quite strongly about where we draw our strength from, where we receive our hope from, and where we take our worth from. She spoke about getting our priorities right. And she spoke of the challenge not to give our time and effort to things that won't respond, like false gods, when we have a God so ready to speak to us. I said to Stace after that preach, I wanted to take a photo of her and put it on Facebook and say how awesome her preach was. But anyone that heard that preach would know that, maybe Facebook is taking over your life. So it got awkward real quick. And if you don't know what I'm talking about and you've got, maybe you're kind of thinking to yourself, oh, Facebook, I spend a bit too much time on that. Possibly have a listen to Stace's preach. And anyway, last week, to bring our recap up to speed, Lance Stayer, one of our church elders, he preached on legacy in the workplace, okay, legacy in vocation. And he repeatedly urged us through the Word of God, through personal circumstance, to trust and rely on the Lord with whatever we put our hands or our efforts to. And Lance closed with Romans 8:28, and I kind of want to pick up from where he left off this morning. And in Romans 8:28, Paul says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself, and having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. I believe God wants to give us some good things this morning. So Let's just start in prayer. Father God, so much more of you, so much less of me. Father, I ask that you just use me as your vessel. Lord, whatever you want to say, that it would come out this morning, Father God, that it would not be a word that brings any condemnation, because I know you want to bring freedom this morning. I know, Lord, that you want to break chains. Lord, I know that you want to bring peace. I know that you want me and all of us to trust and rely upon you. So, Father, would you open our eyes? Would you open our ears? Would you open our hearts to what you'd have to say? I pray all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay, so you might have seen it right at the start of my PowerPoint. The message this morning is called Back to School. Because I believe the messages we've been hearing of late are all talking about going back to the basics of our faith and really breaking off some of the shackles that our own choices, now these are not maybe God's choices, but our own life choices, bring. Okay, so we want to break off some of the shackles this morning. I believe that it's a message that all of us can take away, from the smallest and the youngest to the oldest in the room. I believe this word is applicable to all. But it is the last Sunday that we've got children's church in the room. Mark, have you got out of the mic? Here we go. I'm going to go for a little rove, okay? So as it's the final week that we've got children in the room, I thought, and this is a question, open mic session for everyone. It's not just for the kids. Okay, I thought that maybe you could think back to when you started at school. Maybe that was a long time for some of you. Maybe a long time ago for some of you. Maybe it was quite recent for some of you. But some of the basics, some of the essentials that you might need. So can anyone tell me a school essential that you feel might be appropriate for going back to school? One of my youth leaders, this is scary.
Your school uniform.
Hello? Hello?
School uniform.
School uniform. Okay. Uniform. I'll take that. I'll pay that. Anyone else? Uniform. So we got uniform. Here we go.
A textbook.
Just the one? Maybe more? Anyone else? Can I get anything from the sound desk? School essentials?
Any school essentials? School essentials. Back to school essentials.
School bag.
Yeah, loving that. Oh, okay. Lockie.
Some good shoes.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that. Anyone else? Oh, Jazz.
Pencils and so blah, blah, blah.
The humble pencil. Old school classic.
Solid lunchbox.
Oh, the humble lunchbox. Mr. T.
A horse to get there and a teacher who really loved me.
I love it.
I think, how can we go any further? A horse to get there. Yeah. The humble horse. So, you know, kids, I hope you've got your horse ready. Obviously. So, Mr. T, you've completely ruined my next point. The items that we've come up with aren't particularly unusual or unorthodox, Mr. T says a horse. But generally speaking, they're not. We're not really recreating the wheel. You know, the humble pencil, the humble lunchbox, the humble textbook. You know, for me growing up, where I grew up, and having parents of Southeast Asian descent, back to school, for me, meant I was going to get a coat. Every year, my wife is just laughing because she knows, I was going to get a coat every year. Now, this would strike fear into me, not because I didn't need a coat, but every single year, probably not every single year, but maybe every second year, Mum and Dad would go out and I'd find a coat that I liked. And I put it on and they go, oh yeah, that's a good coat. What's the next size up? And I put that on, And I'd be like, this is like massive. And they're like, how much is it? What's the next size up? And suddenly, I'm wearing, like, basically, I'm wearing a tent, and mum and dad are proud. They're just standing there, like, oh, look at that, look at that. He gonna grow into that? I'm like, I'm still hoping I'm gonna be grown now, let alone, you know, as a 7 or an 8-year-old wearing, like, a age 12 coat. I was mocked and ridiculed for my coats, and even to this day, when I go out with my mates, all the boys are like, yeah, Craig, you gotta get your coat. And there's this like low-pitched like giggle that goes on. Because they know I'll probably turn up with some like massive coat that mum's bought for me. Anyway, if you're going back to school this week, or even if you've started a couple of days ago, maybe we'll just take a little pause here, because I just feel it's important. You know, we've got a school here at Hillside, and I just feel it's important, whether you're at our school or any other school, that we just pray for you guys as you go back to school. So that could be, you know, if you're a student at school, if you're a teacher at school, if you're a staff member, if you're at primary, kindy, high school, TAFE, uni, whatever, can I just ask, you know, and can we do this as community, as church family, can I just ask you to stand if you're about to go back to school or have just started school? Could I just ask you to stand? And you can stay if you're parents, you can stand with your kids' parents, because we only go back to school to start a year once. I'd love to just pray for all the people going back, whatever that might look like. So church, if you feel comfortable doing so, why don't you just lay hands or move your hands towards somebody near you, and let's just pray. Father God, just as our church family go back to school, Father, I just thank you for our schools, for our TAFEs, for our universities, for our education institutes, Lord God. And I thank you for each and every one in this room as they head back. Father, would your blessing be upon them. Father God, as they go about this year, would your favor be upon them? Lord God, I pray that you'd give them ears and eyes to seek your wisdom as well as worldly wisdom, Father. And I pray, Father, that they would increase their knowledge, Father God, in each of the things that they're doing. But Father, most of all, increase their knowledge and their wisdom in you, Father God. Just as they start and they go on this year, Father, I pray that this year would be a year of joy for each and every one of them. Father, we pray all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Awesome. Thanks for standing, guys. So, as I've said, this is our last week with Children's Church in the room. So, children, I was wondering if you could do me a favor. I know I've kept you waiting already, but if you're a child in this room, put your hand up. Awesome. There's a few of you in the room. Okay, so what I'm thinking is I'm going to read a scripture. And when I say the word little or little, it's killing me. It's absolutely killing me. I can't believe it. My accent's just tying me up in knots. If I say the word little during this scripture, could you stand up? Okay, so every time I say it, could you stand up? All right, and my hope is you're going to see somebody quite small bouncing up in the air. You can jump as high as you like, actually, if you hear the word little. Okay, so you got to work with me here, Children's Church, please. Okay, so can we have one test run on, I'm going to say a sentence, a random sentence. When you hear the word little, I want to see you stand or jump or anything like that. Okay. When Craig was at school, and some would say this is still the case now, some would say he was little. Oh, I like it. I like it. All right. Okay. So we're already, it's going to work out well, I think. All right. Okay. Where's my, okay, here we go. And this is the main scripture I wanted to bring to you today, church. It comes from Matthew 18, verses 3-5 from the NLT version. Kids, are you ready? I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming me. Jesus continues in verse 10. You can keep going, kids. One more to go. Beware that you don't look down on any of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels are always in the presence of my heavenly Father. Wow. Okay, so Jesus' words are to turn from our sins and become like little children in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. And I'd really like to focus on the second half of that scripture this morning. Becoming like little children. Church, I think particularly if you're feeling anxious about where you are with God this morning, if you're wondering where your relationship with Him is this morning, I don't bring this word to cause condemnation. I bring this word to cause freedom and to cause comfort in you. And Hillside kids, if you're kind of scared or intimidated about being in this big room with all the big kids this morning, I hope these words from Jesus inform you that we, the adults in the room, are asked to become like you, like little children, like those of you in this very room, in order to inherit greatness in the kingdom of heaven. So basically, if you're kind of under the age of a teenager in this place right now, I'd be throwing some high fives around, okay? Because it just sounds easy. But I think this is where, as adults, we love to complicate the matter. Isn't life good at challenging that concept that it could be that easy? Just become like little children to be great in the kingdom of God. You see, everything else that we're told is that you have to be the loudest to be heard. You have to be the strongest to survive. You have to have the most likes on social media to have influence or credibility. Isn't life good at adding on burdening extras to that simple yet profound statement by Jesus? I even wonder if we, as adults in this room, have grown beyond our childhood to tie ourselves up in our own circumstances or in theological knots, or conditioned ourselves to hear God's voice through the filter of our own understanding, or even trawled through the Bible so deeply that we've lost sight of some of the most plain, simple and basic of truths. And over the last week, I've looked at principles to apply Jesus' words. How do we do that, Lord? How do I become like a little child? And I've found myself challenged not to add any semblance of burden. You've got to do this and that and the other. Or even to, and it's never my intention, but that sense of, or that semblance of creating a recipe, you know, and I don't believe in creating recipes for your faith here, but my goodness, faith like that, becoming like a child, maybe I can give you a five-pointer on how we do that. But I think it's where our head knowledge really has to be chopped off. Because, and Mark, man, you basically preached my sermon at the start of today. You know, Mark mentions a couple of passages of scripture. You know, the rich young man, he comes running and then he gets down on his knees. And back in the day, Jewish men didn't do that. I would say a child, however, when he knows something good is right close by and you can get to that good thing, I'm thinking a child would go running. A child would do anything they could. They'd beg, they'd plead, they'd get down on their knees. I'm wondering if I was in prison with Paul and Silas, how much of my own working out would be going on? I'd be like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I got a plan. I'm going to speak to this guard. I'm going to get my lawyer in. We're going to get out of here. I've got it all mapped out. And I just wonder if I acted like a child of the Lord, would I not start praising? Would I not start singing hymns? Because I know that something far better, far greater, something good is with me at this time. Something good is with me at this time. So at midnight, in the still of the night, when all my thoughts surround me, if I humble myself like a child of the Almighty, maybe then I'll be singing hymns and singing praise to Him. But maybe I try and adult all the time and I overcook it and I overthink it and I know better than the Lord Almighty Himself. I wonder. So I think there are a couple of other scriptures that I want to bring out. Because the Bible's really clear, and it says it time and time again about the theme of coming before God like a child. Now, Luke 18:17 from the NLT says this: I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. In 1 Peter 2:2-3, it says, like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. The imagery is not particularly complex. It is simple and it is bringing all of those things you craved as a child into a spiritual environment. So I wonder, church, if the premise of my entire preach this morning is this question: when was the last time you or I came before the Lord like a child? When was the last time we came before the Lord like children? I wonder if there are people here today, like myself in moments, that have lost that sense of Dad said, because our experience of how God works doesn't seem to line up with that particular piece of scripture. Let me give you an example of this. Dad said, when I was a child, my dad would say certain things and I wouldn't question them or doubt them. I would accept them because I trusted him. In our church, there are these three young guys that I know. And particularly when we're talking about strength, I might say to them, oh, I'm pretty strong, aren't I? And they will say to me, without taking the time to think, yeah, you're not strong. My dad's the strongest dad in the world. What? Three young guys. They're not in the room today. I don't know if you know their dad. I'm not going to mention names. Now, this scenario with me, I kind of go, all right, well, I'm not going to have a wrestle with your dad. Not going to happen. All right? I know I'll give him duff duff. No, I won't. Now, this is fine. It's kind of like humorous and kind of polite laughter worthy. The only time that this scenario becomes awkward is when said dad of said children is in the room with someone who clearly is an Olympic weightlifter. And, you know, these kids are going up to this other Olympic weightlifter-looking dude and going, yeah, but my dad's the strongest dad in the world. What? And I've sometimes just glanced over at said dad. And he's maybe just kind of like, just decides to walk away. Just, oh, lovely weather today. I hope you know what I'm getting at, not the people that I'm talking about, but those situations where dad said, and I believe it just because dad said. Now, unlike earthly situations, we might find out after the event that dad might have been embellishing. But unlike earthly situations, our God is true. Our God doesn't change. Our God doesn't embellish situations. Our God's promises stand. They stand of their own accord. And I wonder if our experience of God's promises over time, as we become adults, becomes a little bit cloudy. I think Jesus' death for me shows that sometimes what we want doesn't look like we want. Okay, so again, let me explain. Jesus, at numerous points, cries out to his dad. He says, Dad, you are good. You are so good. You are the Almighty. But if there's any way we can do this another way, can we do that? Is there any other way? Can we do this, God? Because do I have to die? And we might look at it and go, Jesus' prayer wasn't answered. Because he did die. And then he rose supremely thereafter. But with natural eyes, I hope you know what I mean. Because don't we pray the same prayers? Oh Lord, if there's any other way, can you make it so? And we choose to interpret it through the filter of God's good all the time. So, what do you mean he's not? He didn't answer my prayer. I didn't see it. So, maybe he isn't good all the time. And I go, well, maybe we picked the wrong promise. Maybe we picked the wrong promise. Maybe God is working in the background. Maybe God is working in the background and we just can't see his view of things. You know, I want to bring it back into, maybe I'm talking quite abstractly and quite generally this morning, but let me put it this way. You're in Forest Field Forum. I've heard it as a testimony. I went to the forum. I didn't have any money. And I got out of my car and I opened the car door and there was a $50 note sitting there. And I picked it up and I said, Jesus, you've answered my prayer. Thank you, Lord. And it fed me. And rightly so, thank you, Lord. He is our great provider. But maybe the person that dropped that $50 note didn't realize they had dropped it. Maybe it was never their intention to leave it there because God had told them the whole story. If you leave it there, then this other lady's going to walk in and she's going to be desperate for it and she's going to pick it up and I will be glorified. I hope you know what I'm saying, church, that we don't always get to see the entire spectrum of what God's up to. And we choose to go, well, God can't be good because where did that 50 go? How could he have worked all things for good? Oh, Craig, silly boy. I'm God. You're not. I worked it all out because my plan is perfect. Did you know that? My plan, Craig, is perfect. So church, I'm sorry if I'm kind of speaking in these kind of like random examples this morning. Or maybe it's too simple. Craig, he doesn't get that theology stuff. It's too simple. The way he's bringing this is too simple. But I go, I don't think I've changed the word of God. The word of God says, come to me like a child. So church, when your dad, your heavenly dad, has given you a promise, I'm speaking this out to you, these scenarios, these examples, to say, church, don't let them go. Don't let them get cloudy. Hang in there, because his plan is perfect and good. And even if it doesn't feel that way right this minute, he is unchanging and he is good all of the time. Could it be, as it says in Psalm 145, that God, surely not, is greater than our own understanding? Psalm 145 says, I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. So church, just as I pull this all together, how do we stand before the Lord as a child? Well, I believe the Lord uses that imagery of faith, of being a child of faith, to provide a picture for us to follow. If we come as a child of faith, we acknowledge ourselves to be the lowest of those around us, and certainly lower than the Most High. And when we put ourselves in a place that is low, suddenly we're taking all of our pride away. I don't know about you, but men in this room, the world says you got to be strong, you got to be tough. And there are times and places. But God says when you come before him to be the lowest of the low, to remove your pride. I don't know about you, but that's probably the number one thing that has just cut me up this whole week. When God says, I'm going to get you to preach on being a child of Christ, having faith like a child, Craig. And then he just starts cutting me up and showing me what it looks like and saying, hey, oh, hey, Mr. Pride over there. Yeah, that's you. Yeah, how's your faith like a child going? Oh, sorry, Lord, sorry. And he's just refining me and removing my pride. And, you know, even in my role at the church, you know, sometimes I'm speaking out the word of God. And there are times, particularly, I guess, in youth ministry, where we like to go like, yeah, look what I did there. Look, you know, I had, you know, people are fumbling and bumbling over their words maybe. And you just bring the word of God, bang. And in youth ministry, it's kind of normal to go like, ah, look, check me out. I know the word of God inside out. Like, these guys are mucking around, but I knew it. It's easy for our pride to just come out in small ways. And I think particularly for us guys, it can be our go-to quite easily. Another piece of imagery in that picture for us to follow is to acknowledge God as Lord and Savior and have a childlike awe of His greatness. You know, what I loved about our worship this morning was that it was all about, you've done this. You did this. You are mighty. You are sovereign. And I wonder, all week, far, far longer than that, in fact, I'm going, when am I coming to you, Lord, and not having a need? When am I coming to you, Lord, and not saying, Lord, I need this. Father, I need this. When am I coming to you and just going, you know what, Lord? You're great. You're mighty. You're the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. And guess what? I've just worked it out. You know every hair on my head. So you know my thoughts. You know my deepest desires. So maybe today I don't have to speak them out. Maybe today I don't need to make my shopping list of things I want from Jesus. Maybe I can just say to you, you are the King. You are my Lord. I'm in awe of you. You're my dad. You're wondrous. You are mighty. Maybe. Maybe. Church, I wonder if it's about removing our own ambition, our own agenda, when we come before God. You know, like I just mentioned, my shopping list. God, I need you to do this. I need you to do that. My goodness, as someone who's pretty close to becoming a dad, I'm guilty because I'm like, Lord, look after my little baby. Lord, grow him big and strong. Look after my wife. You know, I'm coming with the best of intentions. And I'm not saying these are bad prayers to pray, but I think maybe in the midst of that, I also see, my goodness, I've got to get back to my first love in the midst of my shopping list, which might be well-intentioned. Am I putting God in His rightful place? When was the last time I simply stood in front of God in awe of Him without asking for something? Church, that image of having childlike faith is to stand in humility. When we stand in humility, we remove our own self-importance. And we look to Him, the Almighty One. When a child stands before their father, trust is immediate and trust is given. When a child stands before their father and their father makes a promise, children don't question or doubt because of their innocence. I wonder when the last time is that we've read or received or believed for one of God's promises with that same innocence, removing any doubt. My dad said, my heavenly dad said, so it has to be true. So church, I ask the question again, When was the last time we came before the Lord as a child? Think about these couple of verses and think about them, maybe how a child would think about them. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Does that just mean God's in control? Does that mean that God's going to work everything out for good if I love him? Yes. Matthew 11, 28 and 29 says, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So let me get this right, Lord. I just got to come to you. You're going to take the heavy thing away from me and you're going to give me rest. What do I got to do? No, just read it again. Listen, you just got to come to me. Okay, cool. Got that. All right, Proverbs. Proverbs 1:33 says, but all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. So I just need to listen to you, Lord, and you will give me peace. I just find particularly those three scriptures, and there's loads of them in the Bible, loads of them that are scandalous. It truly is a scandal of grace. All we need to do is come to him. Listen to him. All we've got to do, over and over, come to me. Listen to me. I'm going to sort it out. I'm still looking for the bit that says, come to me with the shopping list. And then I'll sort it out once you've listed the items in priority order. And, you know, made any number of different noises about how much you need them. I know every hair on your head, Craig. So come on, man. Read my word and understand it. You know, Lance last week, he mentioned the people of Berea who were open-minded and checked the scriptures that Paul and Silas were bringing. Church, same again. If you don't believe it could be that easy, open the book up and look any way you like. I've done it all week and I'm just trying. I'm like, man, come on. Like, and I realize I've overcomplicated this thing. So church, can I get the worship team to come up? You know, I think one of the things we have to remember is that God is so good. He already knows our needs, our wants, our circumstances, and he wants to give us good things. So we don't need to come with a shopping list or burdening ourselves by trying to work it all out for him. Silly Craig, come on, mate. You can work it out yourself. So this week, I wonder, church, you know, and this is my revelation as much as I'm preaching it to you. You know, as we praise him, will we just give him almighty thanks and show him that childlike awe as we pray? Would we not just cloud his promises, but claim them, believe them, receive them like a child? And as we read the word, would we remain teachable? Would we read it with the eyes of a child, enlightening us, guiding us, providing foundation for us? There is so much wisdom in it. Godly wisdom. As we go into our connect groups, or spend time even after this service, I wonder, when was the last time we shared our sense of awe of what God's doing? When was the last time we shared our reverence for Christ? And will we share our joy in the place that God has taken in our lives? You see, church, we said this last week as well. With God, nothing is impossible. And as the Lord said to Solomon in 2 Chronicles 7:14, he said this: "Then if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land." Come, pray, seek me. And just one last scripture to close from Proverbs 3:5. You might have heard this many, many, many times, but I urge you, when you read this through the eyes of a child, to trust in the Lord with all your heart and not depend on your own understanding. I really feel like the Lord is crying out. He's kind of like in red pen, he's just circling all your heart. All your heart. You know those things that we just don't know how it's going to work. We don't know. How are you going to intervene here, Lord? When are you going to intervene here, Lord? I've been partitioning you for ages and suddenly your promise has become cloudy because I can't see it outworked as yet. I believe the Lord wants to challenge us in those deepest places this morning with all our heart. So church, the bottom line is, and it might have been super simple this morning, but with God, with Christ, with Jesus in the center of our lives, and with our full trust and obedience, you might have already picked up on all of the scriptures. A byproduct of trust and obedience is His blessing. Coming to Him, listening to Him, trusting in Him, being obedient to Him. Oh, but I didn't, Craig, if I do all those things, He doesn't know what I need. His word says, if you do all of those things, He's so good that a byproduct of us coming to Him is He's going to bless you. What? I've just got to stand before you, Lord, be in awe of you. I've just got to know my place. I've got to humble myself before you, Lord, and you're going to bless me. It's a scandal. It's a scandal of grace. So, church, the altar's open this morning. If you just want to stand in awe, if you want to say, Lord, with all my heart, I want to sing out to you. Whether you're at the front of this church or at the back of this church, the only issue I would have is if you're at the back going, I'm not going forward. Listen to the message again, man. Come on, you know. We see the fruit of our choices when we come to God and when we don't. God's too good to resist us. So church, we're going to sing All My Hope. And I encourage you, sing with all of your heart this day. Commit all of yourself. Maybe we've got to go back to school and resolve some of our own thinking. But let's sing and let's give him all the praise he deserves.